not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you today. And we're asking you to uphold us with the power of your word. Holy Spirit, thank you for being in this house. Thank you for being up in the worship. Lord, thank you for causing your presence to be known among us. We thank you that you inhabit, you live in the praises of your people. And so as we come to partake of the word, I pray that it will do something on the inside of us that will change something on the outside of us. That we will leave today with an impartation of something that can take our lives to new levels. Father, something that when we go to work on Monday, when we go to work this week, that people will see something different on us. They won't even know what it is, but we will know, because just like the disciples, they were in the presence of Jesus and the people knew it. I thank you today that as we partake of your word, the glory of God will be shown in our lives when people see us. And so I step back so the anointing of God can teach and feed your people in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Well, I've been using the month of June as a random message month. Everybody say, it's a random message month. And what I mean by that is that I'll be doing random messages that may not relate to each other at all. They may not have any connection, but I believe they will be beneficial to you where you are as a person. And then I believe it's also going to be beneficial to where we are as a church. And so if you need a copy of today's notes, if you would raise your hand if you didn't get any, because you're going to need the notes from today's message. And if you're watching me right now, there should be some type of link on your screen that you can go and get a copy of today's notes. And so if you're taking notes today or you follow me, the message title is The Promise, The Principle, and The Practice of Favor. Everybody say The Promise, The Principle, and The Practice of Favor. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say The Promise, The Principle, and The Practice of Favor. And the goal of the message today is to help emphasize the power of favor and then point out some things that we should be doing or we may already be doing that keeps us in an environment of favor. Because see, whatever environment you stay in is the environment you believe in. Amen. So let's begin our journey, and I want to start out by talking about or looking at what favor is. Because most people are uneducated about what favor is. Most believers are not even, they had no idea that favor is something that God has promised us. And then to those who may have heard about favor, they may not have a clear path on how to make it work in their life. And so if you're taking notes, our first point today is the promise of favor. Everybody say the promise of favor. The promise of favor. Favor is something that God wants all of us to experience. So what I want to do is give you some information, and I pray that this information that I give you will turn into revelation that will help you grab hold of this principle. Because if you get what I'm going to teach you today, you can work less and make more. Say amen to that. So before we read our first scripture, let me share a brief story that I haven't shared this one, I don't believe, before, not in this context. When we were trying to secure financing for the building that you're sitting in, we ran into several no's. I don't know if you've been told no before, but too many no's can discourage you. So we ran into several no's, and it seemed like nobody wanted to help us as a church. And in one situation, a representative from a local bank, I won't mention who the bank is, but they really believed in me and they believed in our church. And so we went through this whole application process with this bank. And outside of all the paperwork, because there's a ton of paperwork that must be filled out, in addition to that, there was a two-step approval process. And so after the paperwork part was done, we finished that. Pastor Lisa and I were sweating bullets, just trying to get all that in, mostly her, because that's her area. Well, after the paperwork part was finished, it was now time for that first step. And the first step included me being interviewed by the bank's senior executives. This was very different. I had never done that before. I've never been interviewed by a bank. But they wanted to sit down with me. And so we did it over Zoom. And it was a whole interview process. And if I remember correctly, we received all yeses from everybody that was on that senior executive committee. Now, things looked very promising. And the bank representative got very excited because normally, this is how they were viewing this. Normally, when there was a unanimous decision in the first round, then the second step, which included the board of directors that needed to vote, then it typically just passed. Because if you got all yeses on the first one, the second one is just, oh, that's done. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. The board was full of some very traditional-minded people, especially men, and they didn't pass the voting process. Now, what was interesting is the bank representative was more hurt than me. When she found out that they told us no, because she wasn't part of the board of directors, she left work early saying she couldn't take it. And then when I got over, you know, this, now my logic kicks in. I'm like, I need to know why you all denied us. Because financially we were good. Structurally we were good. All of that about us was good. And they couldn't give me a reason. So then I said, well, give me the reason in writing. You know, typically if something, you know, if you're trying to buy a car or buy a house and it didn't work out, they typically will send you a reason. Well, the bank didn't want to give me a reason because they knew the reason that they were giving us was not a legal reason. And so I was disappointed, but I wasn't devastated. I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. They're going to put it on the screen. Paul said, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. He says, we are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. I've been cast down, but he says, I'm not destroyed. And that's exactly what I felt like. But there was one thing that I had, and that was a promise from God. Amen. I had this promise that I'm about to read that God had given us on the front end, which gave me assurance that things were going to manifest on the back end. I'm going to say that again. Because see, some of you all are in the middle of some things and you're trying to figure out how it's going to work. And you may not have all the resources you need and you may not know anybody that can give you some favor. But I'm here to tell you that God is bigger than what you're looking at. So I had a promise. And that promise that I had on the front end gave me assurance that things was going to work out on the back end. And so your no from man shouldn't shake you when you have received a yes from God that made man. So the promise that he gave me for our church in regards to this building was found in 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10. Now you have to understand, during this journey of pastoring, I think it was about year 7 where I realized God wanted us to build a building and not buy one. Well, it's so much easier to buy a building than it is to construct one. And so this was the promise that I got from God, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. And let me just say this. If you're trying to do something big in your life, don't start with just your ideals. Start with God's promises. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10 says, moreover, this was God talking to the children of Israel. He says, moreover, I'm going to appoint a place for my people Israel, Word of Truth Family Church, and I'm going to plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own. They won't have to skip around from school to school, because see, we have been in a school for 11 years setting up and breaking down. He said, no, 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 I'm going to put them in a place that they can dwell in the place of their own and watch this and move no more. Boy, that sounds like God, don't it? And he said, neither shall the children of Israel of wickedness afflict them anymore. So with that in mind, I knew God was going to come through. Because I had seen favor work in my life in so many ways. And so if he did it before, he can what? He can do it again. So let's fast forward. So I got connected to a broker who connected me with a company that did finances for churches. And here's what's interesting. I had already applied to this company that this broker had connected me with. I had already applied with them before and they had told us no. As a matter of fact, this is what he told me, and I quote him. He says, Pastor Evan, just keep doing what you're doing. Look at your neighbor and say, just keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. In other words, he was saying, hey, you all are on the right track. You're on the right track. You just ain't on our track right now. Well, to make a long story short, not only did the company who told us no originally tell us yes, but here's where the next level of favor came in. That company allowed me to structure the terms for the loan that we have for our building. I structured the terms. You know how you get a loan for a house and they say, oh, you know, it's 30 years or 15 if you choose that. No, 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 no. I customized the terms for our loan because that's what favor does for you. And here's what's interesting. This is what that company said to me, Pastor Evan, and I quote, we have never done anything like this before. And my response was, there's a first time for everything. Church, let me tell you something. And you may not know this, but favor is not fair. And when you know how to function in favor, your life will look totally different from other people's lives. So let's look at some scriptural occurrences of favor. And I believe this will help produce a scriptural definition for favor. So here's what we're about to do. You all already know me because I can, you know, hundreds and thousands of people watch what we teach. And there are people that are sitting out there and what they're listening for is you not rightly dividing the word. But see, I'm not like that. So this is why I use a lot of scripture in my teaching, because I want you to see I'm not teaching for, you know, on what I feel. I'm teaching you from what God's word says. So we're going to look at several verses that involve favor. The first one is Psalm 5 verse 12. Some of you may not have ever heard these verses before. Psalm 5:12. I'm reading it in the King James Version. It says, for you, O Lord, you will bless the who? You will bless the righteous. And what will you bless the righteous with, O Lord? With what, church? With favor. And with that favor, you're going to compass or surround him like a shield. Boy, that's good right there. Now, there are some people saying, well, Pastor, I'm not righteous. I don't act righteous. I don't talk righteous. I sure didn't live righteous this past week. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 helps you out a whole lot, especially if you're a believer. It says, for he, God, has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we, you and I, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus made you righteous. So if he said he's going to surround the righteous with favor, golly, guess what? I'm in favor. Look at your neighbor and say, I qualify. Yeah, I qualify. You qualify. Here's Psalm 44 verse 3. I like this one. Now, God was talking about the children of Israel. That was the context. And so he says about them, for they got not the land that they possessed by their own sword, by fighting for it. Neither did they get that possession of land by their own arm or their own strength. It wasn't by your credit score that you got what you got. He said, but watch this. And in the light of thy countenance, he says, because this is why they got it, because you had favor on them. Listen to the Amplified Bible. This is so good. It says, for our fathers did not possess the land of Canaan by their own sword, nor did their own arm or strength save them. But your right hand and your arm and the light of your presence, God, because you favored and delighted in them. That's how they got it. So you cannot have biblical favor without God. I'm not talking about just man-made favor. I'm talking about the favor with God. Because the Bible says that Jesus, watch this, he grew in favor with God and man. So you do have favor from man, but then I'd rather have favor from God too. And the Bible says Jesus grew in favor. He grew. So some of y'all may say, Pastor, I heard a message on favor before. My question to you is, have you grown in yours? Okay, here's another one. Here's another. I ain't gonna mess with nobody. Here we go. Exodus chapter 12, verse 35. I like this one. Listen to what it says. And the children of Israel, they did according to the word of Moses. Notice that they obeyed what they heard. They hearkened to the voice of Moses. Well, let's see what he told them to do. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment or clothing, verse 36. And the Lord, who? Come on, church. The Lord, what did he do? He gave the people what? He gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. The people who enslaved them, God gave them favor with those people. Let's see what happened. Well, how did this favor manifest? What does favor look like? This is so good. Here's what happened. So the Egyptians lent unto them, the Israelites, such things as they required. Favor will cause people to give you what you require. Say amen to that. Listen to Leviticus 26. You say, I didn't even know it was that many scriptures in the Bible about favor. Yes, it is. This ain't even all of them. This is just some of them. Leviticus 26, verse 32. Watch this. It says, and I will bring the land into desolation. This was God talking. And he says, and your enemies which dwell in there shall be astonished at it. And then he says, God says, and then I'm going to scatter you among the heathen. See, some of y'all work for heathens. It's okay. Amen. God scattered his people among heathens. And then he says, and I will draw the sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. But watch what he says. He says, then shall the land that they were in, then because they're gone from the land, he says, now the land will enjoy her Sabbaths. The word enjoy is the same Hebrew word favor. So favor means for me to be able to enjoy something. In fact, if you keep reading it, it reads, also, it uses that word enjoy again. Now see, life should not be 100% grind. Okay, I'm gonna say it on this side, cause they look like they work real hard. Life should not be a constant grind. I think they got it. Let me say it over here. I said, life should not be a constant grind. You say, well, Pastor, why are you saying that? Well, let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Watch what Paul was saying to Timothy. He says, Timothy, since you're the pastor of that local church, I want you to charge those who are rich in this world that they don't be high-minded, sedity, and stuck up. I added those two words. He says, and tell them to not trust in uncertain riches. Why? Because you can have money one day and the stock market can take it all the next day. He says, don't trust in that. He said, but what they need to do, they need to trust in the living God. Why? Because that living God gives us richly how many things, church? All things to what? Enjoy. Life should not be a constant grind. If life is a constant grind, that means somewhere you don't have faith enough to rest. Let me tell you something now. Now this, touch your neighbor, say, he's gonna slap you if you don't get this. If God himself rested a day, who are you not to rest a day? I'm gonna clap for that myself. That was so good, Pastor Evan. That was so good. You are so right. Listen, if God had to take one day off a week. I'm talking to you right. You wondering why you tired. You know why you tired? Because you're not taking a Sabbath. Let me ask you a question. I'm diverting just a little bit. Let me ask you a question. Are the Ten Commandments still good? Yeah, they still good. Well, do you know that one of the Ten Commandments is you shall take a Sabbath? Did you know that? So some of y'all tired. You trying to go to the doctor, see what's wrong with you. I'm talking to somebody right now. I don't know if they watching me or they in this room. But you going, you trying to figure out why you tired, why you this, ain't got no energy. Because you're working 7 days a week. God didn't make it like that. Amen. That was for somebody. So listen, he says, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. And favor will help you enjoy life a lot more. So, you know, if you notice, we just did it. We mentioned favor in our financial confession. And next message, because this is a two-part message, I couldn't get it all in. So I actually had to break it up. So I'm going to explain to you later why we put the favor in our financial confession. So here's the question. What is it? What is favor? Well, I'm going to give you three definitions of favor. The first one I'm going to give you is from the dictionary. The second one I'm going to give you comes from the Old Testament. And the third one I give you is going to come from the New Testament. And then what we're going to do, we're going to take all three of those definitions and we're going to do our best to consolidate them all into one. So listen to the definition of favor from the dictionary. I love this. Listen to what it says. Favor means excessive kindness. Not just regular kindness. It says excessive kindness. That's people are going out of their way to be kind to you. Glory be to God. Amen. It means preferential treatment. I like that one. That means I'm going to be treated differently. You say, well, that ain't fair. I told you favor wasn't fair on the front end. I mean, look, just the dictionary's definition of favor has explained my whole Italy trip now. If y'all, how many weren't here last week? If you weren't here last week? Yeah. Well, last week I let the church know that the brand Gucci has decided to let us, represent them as what they call client ambassadors in Italy. And so we got a free trip. Who gives away free trips to Italy? You know what's interesting though? One of my guys, you know, one of the financial guys that I do some business with, I told him what was going on. He was like, oh, he said, man, you buy so much at Gucci. Why wouldn't they pick you? I said, you don't understand. There are thousands of people who pay way more or spend way more than me. Way more than me. I said, what you fail to realize is that this is the favor of God. Think about this. Out of all the people in America they could have picked, they picked me. You know why? Because I understand how favor works, and that's why I'm talking to you about it today. Praise the Lord. It means excessive kindness. It means preferential treatment. Listen to this. This is good if you're trying to buy a house. It means to be approved. It means to be held in high regards. Watch this. Now listen to the biblical definition. Here's the Old Testament first. It means kindness. Now, that relates to the one we just read about in the dictionary. It means acceptance. There it is, approval. So we can see that the regular dictionary lines up with scripture. It also in the Old Testament means well-favored. Not just favored, but well-favored. It means to delight, to enjoy, to approve. There it is again. Watch this one. To satisfy. And here's a good one. It means to pay off. I'm believing that some of the debt that's in this church, in your life, before this year is over with, it's going to get paid off. Pastor, that sound like hype. No, it sound like the word. We're telling you what the word is saying right here. Now listen what the New Testament says. It means, watch this now, you can see how this relates to our confession. It means divine influence upon the heart. Divine influence, divine is God. It means God uses divine influence upon a person's heart. It means benefits. It means gifts. It means that which affords joy. And then finally, the New Testament, it says, it means that favor, a favor with one which one receives without any merit of his own. I'm going to say that again. A favor with which one receives without any favor or merit of his own. In other words, it's when someone receives something, listen, and they didn't have to do anything to get it. Now, what I just said, that last definition, I believe can be misunderstood by a lot of people, because in some instances, and I'm going to show you just one of them, in the New Testament, the word favor is also translated as the word grace. Everybody say grace. One example is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. They're going to put it on the screen. Here's what it says. It says, "For by grace or favor are you saved." And that happens through faith. And even that faith is not from you. It's not from yourselves. That faith is the gift of God. Now listen, if you don't properly, rightly divide the word of God, you will hear, or what you will think is, no one had to do anything to get the favor of God for us to be saved. But that's not true. Everybody say that's not true. That's not true. Just because we didn't have to do anything to get God's grace doesn't mean somebody else didn't have to do something. In other words, what I'm saying to you, the only reason we have this grace to be saved is because Jesus did something for us. So that favor wasn't free. In other words, see, because some people be like, well, I don't have to do nothing to get favor from God. No, you don't have, for salvation, you don't. But there are some other things that you're going to have to do to get the favor, because the salvation that God gave us was not free. It cost Jesus his life. So what Jesus did, listen, that's what triggered the favor that we are experiencing. But that only applies to salvation. Amen. There are some other things that I'm going to show you in just a second about favor that you and I must do. It's only because of what Jesus did for us that caused God to provide the great grace that we experience in our salvation. And the reason I'm saying this, because you're thinking, why is he saying that? It's because my third point, which I'm going to do in my next message, is called the practice of favor. And what I don't want you to think is that I don't want you to think that there is nothing that needs to be done on your part and my part to cause favor to flow in our life. Are y'all with me? So let's do this. Let's now come up with a concise definition that includes all three of those definitions that we just mentioned. Now, let me warn you up front, this is a big definition. It's a lot. But would you like a little blessing or a lot of blessing? Favor is so big. It is so amazing. It cannot be said in just one word. So listen to the definition. Favor means excessive kindness and preferential treatment. It means to be approved or to satisfy and to please one. It means when God causes divine influence to come upon the heart of a person. And lastly, it means benefits, gifts, and that which affords me joy. Favor is the granting of what is required or what is desired to better my life and for me to be a blessing. Favor is the willingness of others to use their power, their ability, their influence, and their resources to help me. Can y'all receive that? So now let's talk about point number two very quickly. And we're going to talk about the principle of favor. Now, principles work. The law of gravity says what goes up comes down. Does that work in Texas? Absolutely. If you fly to California, you get off the plane and you throw something up in the air, what's going to happen? It comes back down. You know why? Because that is a principle. And I'm trying to get you to see today is that favor is a principle. It will work anywhere. It'll work at all times. We just have to know how to work it. You say, well, Pastor Edmund, here's my thing. One of my core beliefs is that God is a God of principles, protocol, and promises. I'm going to say this again because I've taught this before, but I need you. This needs to be part of your basic belief system. See, there's some basic beliefs that I have that you can't change for me. I believe God is a good God, and there's nothing you can tell me that's going to change that. So I have this core belief that God is a God of principles, protocol, and promises. And to receive his promises or blessings, we must follow his protocol. Why? Because God has a prescribed way of doing something. And when we follow his prescribed ways, his promises are bound to take place in our lives. So I believe favor has principles, favor has protocol, and favor will pay out in benefits in diverse ways if we do it. Say amen to that. So what's a principle? When you look up the word principle in the dictionary, it means an adopted rule or a method for application, or I like this one, or a law. Now, let's summarize that by keeping it in context. What can we say about God? A principle is what God wants us to do. Everybody say, a principle is what God wants us to do. Now make it personal. Say, a principle is what God wants me to do. Amen. That's why in the Old Testament, when God was talking to Joshua, he said, Joshua, you're going to make your own way prosperous. And you're going to make your own self successful. Why? He's saying, if you can keep reading it, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate it. And then he talked about you got to do it. He's just talking about principles, protocol, and promises. So the principle is what God wants us to do. Here's the protocol. It means a code of correct conduct. Not just conduct. See, when I was growing up, we used to have an area on your report card that had, that said conduct. How many remember that? Do they still have that today? Okay. Well, my conduct grades were terrible. That's three words. Terrible. Well, protocol from God's perspective is a code of correct conduct. And let's summarize that into what we're talking about. That means how or the way God wants us to do something. If he has a promise at the end of something, then we have to do what he wants us to do and the way he wants us to do it for us to access the promise. Say amen to that. And so here's the third one. What is the promise? That's a declaration that something will be done or given. And we're going to summarize it in what we're talking about. That's what God promises us for following his principles and his protocol. So one may be out there saying, well, Pastor Evan, where'd you come up with this whole premises? How does that connect to the Bible? I ain't read nothing in the Bible that says God is a God of principles, protocol, and promises. That's why you're here today. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, they're going to put it on the screen. We're going to read that. But what I want to do before we read it is to provide context. So the context of this verse we're about to read, Jesus was talking to a crowd of people, and he was saying to them, it doesn't make sense for you to worry about life's necessities. Why are you worrying about having school clothes for your kids and summer just ended? Why are you worrying about how you go, I'm talking to somebody right now. Why are you worrying about how your car gonna get fixed and it ain't even broke yet? Why are you worrying about being able to pay? I'm talking about somebody. Now these are for my fixed income people right here. Why are you worrying about, oh, Pastor, groceries are going high. You know, now everything is high now. Bread is high. Cheese is high. You are high. Why are you worrying about that? And so the context, Jesus was saying to people, listen, you don't need to be worrying about daily necessities. So now it goes into now what we're reading. Verse 30. And I'm reading this out of the Amplified Version. And the whole point of me reading this verse is to show you that principles and the protocol and promises are right here in this verse. Matthew chapter 6, I'm starting in verse 30. It says, but God, I'm reading out of the Amplified Version, but if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and green today, and then tomorrow that same grass is cut down as fuel into the furnace, will he, God, not much more clothe you, you of little faith? He says, therefore, do not worry. Say, do not worry. Say, do not worry. He said, do not worry or be anxious, which means perpetually uneasy and distracted, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? He says, for the pagans, the unbelievers, the Gentiles eagerly seek all those things. But Jesus said, don't worry. Everybody say, don't worry. He said, but do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And so verse 33 is the powerful verse. He says, in contrast, he was saying, instead of worrying, Instead of trying to figure out how all that's going to work, he said, what I want you to do first and foremost and most importantly, to seek, aim at, and strive after his kingdom. There's the principle. The principle is seek first the kingdom. The King James says, seek first the kingdom of God and all the things you and I need are going to be added. The seeking first right here, putting him first and striving after him first. That's the principle. So it goes on to say, strive after his kingdom. And here's the second part. Here's the protocol. And everybody say, and his what? Righteousness, which means what? His way of doing and being right. So he says, in the midst of you seeking God first, while you're doing that, you need to do things the way he wants you to do it. That's the protocol. And then he says, as a result of exercising the principle and doing it the way God wants you to, he says, you know what's going to happen to you? All the things you need are going to be given to you. So why are we worried about stuff that, when it ain't our job? Amen. So did you see the principle? Did you see the protocol? Did you see the promises? And I'm going to show you some other verses in the second lesson that's going to help you see. This ain't the only verse that I pull something out of. No. And this is why. This is why. If you live a principled life, you can expect a predictable life. Oh, I'm going to say that again. If you live a principled life, you can expect a what kind of life? A predictable life. You say, well, Pastor, how'd you come up with that? Because it is very predictable. If I throw this phone up, what's going to happen? Psych. No, if I throw the phone up, what's going to happen? It's going to come down. That is very predictable. So when you and I learn how to follow God's word and do it the way he wants us to, and that's what people run into problems. They want what God has to offer, but they don't want to do it his way. What's interesting is we don't have a problem with that when it comes to salvation. You know why? Because we don't want to go to hell. If he say confess with our mouth, oh, I'm confessing, Lord. I believe in Jesus. I receive him as my Savior. Well, you know, we had to follow the protocol. You can't be like, well, I want to be saved, but I don't want to do that. We're going to be sending you a memo somewhere that ain't in heaven. So how do we apply the word today? Because here's... I'm trying to set you up for the next one because a lot of believers are practicing the things that draw favor, but their expectation of it is either low or not even existent. So how do we apply today's message? Here's the first one. Make a decision. Everybody say make a decision. Make a decision that you want to walk in a new level of favor. I ain't talking about your old favor. You already got that. I'm talking about new levels of favor. See, I'm going for being a paid ambassador for Gucci. That's where I'm going. Why not? Well, Pastor, what if it don't happen? What if it do? Amen. You got to make a decision that you want to walk in a new level. If you're okay at the favor level you at, just stay there. Here's the second thing we got to do. If you struggle with what I taught today, ask the Holy Spirit what is hindering your heart from believing what I just taught you. Because I can tell you this, I taught you right out of the word. Did y'all agree with that? Taught you right out of the word. So here's the question. Why are you struggling with what I'm teaching? Here's three reasons you might be. Maybe tradition. I ain't never heard that before. My grandmother loved the Lord, but I didn't see no favor in her life. You know why? Because faith comes by hearing, and your grandmother ain't never heard about favor. Everybody say tradition. Or watch this one. Here's one. Disappointment. I ain't trying to believe in something. What if it don't happen? So you know what? So instead of now grabbing on of what I'm teaching you, it's like I've been disappointed too much. So I'll just see if it works or not. No. You can't do that. When Jesus asked Peter to step out into the water, Peter said, Master, if that's you, can I walk on the water? And Jesus said to him, come. Well, I don't think Peter would have jumped out there if he didn't think he was going to be able to walk on it. Here's the next one. It's unbelief. I just don't believe that, Pastor. Here's the third thing you and I need to do. Is go back and re-listen and re-watch this message right here again Watch this. Because faith only comes by hearing. Faith, listen church, faith does not come by remembering. And then here's the last thing we need to do is raise your expectation of favor. How do you do that, Pastor? Begin by saying favor flows in my life. Everybody say favor,
favor
flows in my life. Say
I walk
in a new level of favor.
Say
God
favors
me
because
I'm righteous.
He's opening up doors.
He's causing
people
to do good things
to me
and
favor
me.
Listen,
listen,
that's
how
expectation
starts.
And
your heart,
listen,
your
heart
is
revealed
by
what comes
out of your
mouth.
My
sister.
But
your
heart
is also
revealed
by
what
doesn't
come
out
of your
mouth.
Did
you
get
that?
I say
your
heart
is revealed
by
what comes
out of
your
mouth.
Jesus
said,
out of
the abundance
of the heart,
the
mouth speaks.
So
your
heart
is revealed
by
what
comes out
of your
mouth.
But
your
heart
is also
revealed
by
what
doesn't
come
out
of your
mouth.
Which
means
that
if
you
don't
believe
it,
you don't
say it.
And
let me
close
it like
this.
You
can't
have what
you
don't
say.
So
there are
some people
in the
room
with
every
head bowed.
You're struggling.
You're
struggling.
Pastor,
I
got a lot
going
on.
I got
a lot
of stuff
in my
life.
I got
some
needs
that
I got
this.
I
have
this.
I got
this.
I got
that.
Well,
maybe
the
emphasis
today
is for
you
to
shift.